Luke chapter 12, verse 35, we'll read through 47. Let your waist be guarded and your light burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding, so that when he comes and knocks, they may immediately open to him. Blessed are those born servants whom the Lord, when he comes, will find watching. Truly I say to you that he will guide himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Now, if he comes in the second watch or comes in the third watch and finds them so, blessed are those born servants. And now Jesus tried to give a parable about the relationship between the master and the servant. And he said, be like, let your attitude in kingdom work be like the attitude of a committed and faithful servant waiting for the arrival of their master, who went out on a trip or who went out to get something done. And all the servants are waiting, getting ready to welcome home their master. They are putting everything in place. They are inconveniencing themselves to ensure that their master's convenience is guaranteed when he returns. They are committing their time, their resources, their energy, their ideas, their knowledge to making sure that their master's arrival is going to be a good one. Jesus went on to say, if such a master arrives and find the servants watching, find them at their duty post, find them committed and faithful, staying true to their oath of allegiance, if their master comes and find them in such a state that their master will be happy and will make a feast and will sit together with them and will eat. And not only that he will eat together with them, but he will also serve them. He will also appreciate them. But it didn't stop there. He said, blessed are those born servants whom the Lord, when he comes, will find watching. Truly I say to you that he will guide himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Now, if he comes in the second watch. Now, this could just be first impression. The servants are trying to give their master a good impression of themselves. They are newly employed. They are newly ordained. They are newly given the assignments and portfolios. They are newly given the appointments. So they want to show their boss. They want to show their master, we can do this thing. So you see, they will keep sleepless night. You see them, they will do everything possible at that first instant. And Jesus said, if the master comes again in the second watch, 2 years have elapsed, 3 years into the work, 5 years into the responsibility, if he comes in the second watch and do what? And find them. Or if he comes in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those born servants. Now, there is a first blessing for a first impression. It says, blessed are those servants whom their master will come and find them watching. And that tells us there is blessing to everything you do. But how long the blessing is going to last? Whether you'll be able to multiply, whether you'll be able to make permanent the blessing, whether you are going to be able to perpetuate the blessing, is going to depend on you. The blessing that comes with service will disappear as soon as the service is no longer in place. The blessing that comes with commitment is going to fade away when the commitment is reducing. If the master comes in the second watch and in the third watch, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, he or she has gotten familiar with everything. The work has become a routine. I just know that I have to be here on Mondays for choir rehearsals. I have to be here on Saturdays. I have to be here on Wednesdays. It has become a routine. So I will now begin to see how I can do it around my convenience. If the master will come in the second watch and in the third watch and still find them so, he said, blessed are those servants. Verse 39, now know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief will come, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. If you are aware of when the reward, the result, the harvest will be given, I'm sure that your attitude towards work around that time will be that of commitment. Some people get very serious when it is getting closer to when they are going to get their pay. But now the master didn't know that the thief was going to come in such a time. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Because we don't know when he will give the blessing. Solomon said something. He said, sow your seed in the morning, and in the evening, do not stop, because you don't know whether this or that, or whether the whole of them will produce harvest for you. Hence, we don't know the time that the reward, that the blessing will be released. We ought always to carry a mindset of commitment and responsibility. And then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only unto us, or to everyone else? Then the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that bond servant, whom his Lord, when he comes, he will find him doing so. Blessed is that servant, blessed is that worker, that has been given a responsibility, and he or she is faithfully discharging his responsibility, whether in the presence or in the absence of his Lord. Blessed is that worker. Blessed is that Christian who carries that kind of mindset, committed to his work, committed to our work, committed to our duty. The mind he or she has is that if I am not there, no one else will do it. Even when they are 100 doing the same thing, the mindset he or she carries, if I am not there, something is going to get bad. If I'm not there, things will not be done right. If I am not there, there is no completion. He carries that sense. He carries that mindset. He has that attitude. Not the one who says, whether I'm there or not, they can do it. Not the one who says, after all, my absence will not mean anything. Others are there if I'm not there. Blessed is such a servant whose the master has committed a duty to give the portion to his household in their due time. Blessed is such a servant that will be doing so when the master will arrive. Of a truth, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that bond servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and will begin to beat both men and women bond servants, and to eat and to drink and be drunk. Now this convenience now. If the servant, if the worker, if the Christian will say in his heart, well, this thing is no man's business. If the servant, if the worker, if the Christian will say in his heart, nobody is paying me for it,
So nobody should order me around. Nobody should tell me what to do and how to do it. He begins to do the thing around his convenience. The Bible said the Lord of that bond servant will come in a day when he does not look for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and assign him a place with the unbelievers. But that bond servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare, take note of the word prepare, nor did according to his will be beaten with many stripes. Amen. We're still looking at commitment and convenience. Commitment and convenience. Commitment is a decision that cannot be reversed until it reaches the conclusion once it is taken. Commitment is that decision that cannot be reversed until it reaches a conclusion once it is taken. That's what commitment means. That's what faithfulness means. Consistently doing the thing that you have decided to do, whether the seasons are good or bad. So commitment is that decision that you have taken that you cannot reverse it until you get the result, until you get the harvest, until you are sure, until you are able to say to yourself, yes, I have done a good work. Commitment is that decision that cannot be reversed until it reaches a conclusion once it is taken. I have decided I'm going to sing, and I don't care whether there's money in my pocket or not. I don't care whether the rules are too difficult. I'm going to go all the way. That's commitment. Now, you need to understand that you need commitment for even your faith to work. Because no matter what you know about the laws of faith, if you don't apply commitment to it, it's not going to work. James said, faith without work is dead. He said, show me your faith, and I will show you my work. Everywhere you see active faith, you see responsibility. There is no faith that brings result without commitment behind it. The woman who had the issue of blood had faith. After she heard many things that Jesus had been doing for others, it generated faith in her. But if that faith was going to give her result, she would need to apply commitment. She would need to apply responsibility. She would need to apply work to it. She was weak because she was losing blood on a daily basis. She was frail. She wasn't too strong. But she needed to apply commitment to her belief. She needed to apply commitment to what she knew. He said, if I am going to touch the hem of his garment, I'm sure that my disease will go. But how am I going to do that? I will need to summon courage. I will need to put strength inside of me and go forth. And she knew what she was going to be confronting. The crowd, the multitude. She decided to be committed to it. So no matter what you know about the laws of faith, if you don't start applying it by commitment, it will not become a spirit of faith. Now, there's a difference between winning and being a winner. There's a difference between winning and being a winner. Winning is an event, but a winner is a spirit. Winning is an event. You know, somebody can actually win without commitment. That is winning by chance, winning by mistake. That's an event. The likelihood of an event to occur, it may either occur now or it may not. But a winner carries his spirit. When you say somebody is a winner, he is somebody, she is somebody that has a spirit inherent in him or her that gives him or her an edge over every other person in whatever battle of life they are going to face. A winner. He has a spirit. Caleb had another spirit, different from the spirit that was ruling and reigning over 10 others. He said, we are well able. That's a winner. Praise God. That's a winner. It is a spirit. We can undo this thing. David said, this man is uncircumcised. I can kill him very cheap. That's a winner. Winning is an event. A winner has a spirit. And God wants you to have a spirit. You can do something fantastic occasionally, but it is doing something proper, something right consistently, whether people are there or not, that produces greatness. You can do a fantastic thing occasionally, once in a while. This one shows commitment. Once in a while, this brother looks very okay. Once in a while, the sister is always there. You can do something fantastic occasionally. For instance, there are some people that can be very committed in their duty in church for 1 month. 1 month, they are there in every Wednesday, every Friday, every Sunday. But the next month, they are not there. You have done something fantastic occasionally. That's not where God wants us to be. What produces greatness? What makes you great is the ability to do something fantastic, something good, something right, something nice, consistently. You are doing it on a consistent basis. You are not punctual only when there are special programs. You are just a punctual person. You are not regular only when we are going to have guests and visitors. You are very regular. That's what produces greatness. Consistency. You don't pray 7 hours at a stretch when there is a need for it. And after that need is done with, you don't even pray for hours, for weeks, for month. Doing it consistently. It is better to be praying every day, 30 minutes. Every day you pray 30 minutes. Every day you pray 30 minutes. Than to pray 8 hours in one day and you only do that once in a month. He said, my, when I stand to pray, I will pray the prayer that will cover me for the next month. And so you can spend 8 hours, 10 hours at a stretch and pray. Wonderful. Fantastic, but that kind of life will not produce greatness in you. But if you can be doing it consistently, no matter how little it is, that's why a prominent Chinese proverb says, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step. That a mighty ocean can be formed by little drops of water. Little drops of water will make a mighty ocean. It isn't going to make a mighty ocean in a week or two. But if the water keeps dropping consistently, try this out. If you have a tap in your bedroom and the valve has a problem that when you lock it, it's not completely closed, there will still be droplets of water. Put a bucket in it and go to bed. And wake up the following morning, you will discover that the quantity of water that has been collected so far over the hours that you were sleeping could be enough for you to do something tangible with it. But if you were to be waiting for that drop to take a bath, you will become impatient because you wait for too long before the water will rise up to the level that will be enough for you. But if you leave it and go to bed, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, you will wake up to discover that the whole thing is filled up. That's what consistency does. It produces greatness in you. You are consistently doing the writing. You are consistently studying. Consistently, you open your daily devotional. Consistently, you are keeping morning devotion. Consistently, you are observing your quiet time. Not you pray on Monday, and then when you remember to pray again, will be on Thursday. It will produce greatness. It will make you half bent. It won't get the kind of strength that you need. Praise God. In science, the shortest distance to a particular point is a straight line. Praise God. That's what physics says. The shortest distance to a point is what? Is a straight line. But if you choose to say there is a shortcut, sometimes it looks as though the shortcut is shorter, but it's not actually shorter. Praise God. And so, consistency, that's what consistency does. Consistency is a straight line. There is no break. At that point where there is a break, you are losing steam. You are losing energy. But if you keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, it builds up to something very good. It builds up to something great. I was told, I haven't proved it, that keeping the car on, maybe sometimes you are on a hold up and you don't have so much fuel, and see some people will off the engine and then start it again when the movement is there. When there's no movement, it puts off the engine to save fuel. I am told that it even takes more fuel starting it and kicking, because every time you start the engine and then you step on your accelerator, on your brake, it pumps more fuel into the engine. And then when you off it, you start it again, it takes more fuel. But if the engine is steaming, it's just going to be receiving the fuel little by little, and it's going. Praise God. So consistency has a way of building something great inside of you. And that's where God wants us to be. God doesn't want us to be overnight giants. God doesn't want us to be overnight champions. And there are no such persons who are champions overnight. You become champion as a result of going through rigorous training, consistently doing the things that is required of you. A lot of time, people who wanted to lose weight will get discouraged along the line, because they will not be able to follow consistently the exercises required for the weight loss. And you can do it for 1 week and get tired. Have you discovered that if you have not been exercising for a long time and you decide to start an exercise, the first day when you finish the exercise, you may not be able to wake up well the following morning? Every joint in your body, everything in your body will begin to cry out. You have so much pains around your body, and you will not feel like doing that exercise the next day. Praise God. But if you keep doing it, you keep doing it, you discover that over time, you no longer experience the pains. Praise God. What has happened? All your body system has adjusted to that new form of life, and they are now moving on, and they are building towards something good, towards the next level. But sometimes you want to lose weight, and they say you need to take this tea in the morning and take it in the evening, and you have taken it for 1 week, and then you climb the scale and discover that nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing damaged. Praise God. After doing all the exercise, taking all the slimming tea for 1 week, you climb the scale. You were weighing 82. And then you look down, it is still 82, or sometimes 82.5. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing reduced. Praise God. And then you are likely going to tell yourself, this thing is not going to work. Let me just leave myself. Praise God. But the man that will painstakingly continue, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, over time you discover that the thing is starting to work. That's what it is. That's what commitment is. It should be a spirit. Do something that is right on a consistent basis, whether people are there or not. Discipline must not be an event. Seriousness must not be an event. It must be a lifestyle if you ever want to be great. Discipline for you shouldn't be an event. Seriousness shouldn't be an event. We are having an anniversary. We are having a 10-day seminar. And then you see people looking very serious. After those 10 days, the whole seriousness will be buried. And then they become their normal self. Have you seen students who are serious during examinations? They may come first in their class, but they are not the best in the class. Praise God. You can become very serious 2 days to the exams and cram everything if you have a good brain. And then you are lucky, you get into the examination hall, and everything up there in your head is what is asked. You just download them. After you download them, you are empty. Have you not seen students that in examination hall, they ask you to define motion? You know how to define motion. You have written it. 2 weeks after the exam, they ask you what is motion. He can't remember. Praise God. No, he can't remember. He passed the exams. He wrote the exams. So there's a difference between reading your book to pass exam and reading your book to have knowledge. And so there are people who are just studying for an occasion. You are just studying for an event. Just want to look good for this event. And after that, discipline should be a lifestyle. Seriousness should be a lifestyle. There are people who look good and dress well when they are going for an occasion, but meet them somewhere else, you'll be thinking whether it's their twin brother or twin sister. Looks neat. Looks good. But after that occasion, there is something different. That means it's not a lifestyle. But there are people that neatness, cleanliness is a lifestyle. Some people will clean their house only when they are expecting visitors. And so when the visitor enters, the whole place is glittering. Everywhere is shining. And they say, what a beautiful house. What a good house. But if the visitor there visits without pre-information, he will meet the person original. Praise God. So discipline and seriousness should be our lifestyle. You can't be praying when you feel it is convenient. You can't be coming to church when you feel it is convenient. It's not going to work for you that way. It's not going to give you anything tangible. You pray when you feel it's convenient. You come to church when, okay, today I'm less busy. I think I should be in Bible study. What do I have to do today? Wednesday, okay, I don't have so much things. Okay, I'm going to be in church today. You can't be a good Christian like that. It should be a lifestyle. There are people that need alarm to remind them that they have a program in church. But there are people that it has become their lifestyle. It's part of them. And that's the reason why you can come to church and forgot that today is supposed to be church. So when you come, you'll be looking for a handkerchief to cover your hair because you didn't remember. It's not in your system. It hasn't entered your system that every Wednesday is church. So you suddenly remember sometimes when you were about going home, you say, today is Wednesday, let me get back. Commitment is the key to greatness. See, a man that is committed to whatever he's doing, be it business, be it spiritual life, whatever a man puts commitment in is going to get result. Yes. There is nothing you commit yourself to doing that you won't get result. That's why the Bible says, where the treasure of a man is, that is where his heart will be. That's a picture of commitment. Your heart cannot be in any place and you are seeing no result. If your heart is there, your attention is there, you are going to get something out of it. At least you will know how to do it. If a student who is afraid or is not good in a particular subject pays more attention to that particular subject over a time, he will become good and proficient in that subject. Commitment is the key to greatness. Commitment is what God demands. When God sees commitment in your day-to-day application, God will also face you with commitment. Many people practice the principles of God with convenience and they blame God. A lot of time, we do the things of God at convenience. You pay tithe when it is convenient. Yes. And then you blame God. You are not blessing me. You offer to God when it is convenient. And then you blame God. A lot of times we apply convenience to the principles of God that ought to carry commitment. Every principle of God will work on the basis of commitment, consistently practicing it. And Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Ought always. Pray without ceasing. So when you apply commitment to kingdom principle, you are going to get result. Give and it shall be given unto you. So give today, give tomorrow, give next tomorrow. It shall be given unto you. It's a principle. What is needed is commitment. But a lot of time we apply convenience to the principles of God, and we end up blaming God for not being faithful on his own part. You must get out of the crowd of convenience and get into the elite group of committed people. Apply knowledge and truth with commitment. Take your life to another level. Rise to the height of the destiny that God has created for you. And that will happen only when you apply commitment to the truth that you know. Praise God. Take your life to the next level by commitment. Take your Christian walk, your Christian experience, your encounters with God to the next level by commitment. Stay on your walk. Stay on the truth that you know. Commit yourself to it. What has God called you to do? Beginning from your spiritual life to your secular life, to your day-to-day activity, to your work, to your business. Commit yourself to it. No, you don't get to the office and you are just working like, I'm the boss here, so I can do anything. Commit yourself to it. I remember when I had my IT in Michelin. When I first entered the department I was taking to, quality assurance and control. And I entered that department. In fact, it was like, are you sure you are going to be able to work here? There are very sensitive materials in this place. But in 2 months' time, the manager who was in charge of my department will bring new employees for me to train them. In 2 months. Praise God. And there was a time Michelin went on strike. So all the staff were not working. And quality control and assurance should work if there must be production. And I was the only person in the quality control. And they will bring all the raw materials. I'm going to run a test. And then I'm going to write approve you can use. And so for that 3 weeks, if I don't approve a raw material, tires cannot be manufactured. Praise God. But I did it for 3 weeks alone. Run all the tests, get all the specifications. The ones who will not be used, I will write they are not used. I will have to go to the warehouse on my own, carry a big paper, and I write not used, and just put it on a particular badge and sign. Praise the Lord. Now, what is that? Commitment. Commitment to learning. Commitment to what you know. So get yourself committed to the truth that you know. Get yourself committed to the things of God. Don't be a worker that we need to follow you up after every month. Don't be a worker that you are in church this month and 2 months time you are not there. The time that you will not be around, we will just be believing that it's our normal way, it's his normal way. Don't worry, after 1 month, we will see him. Only for us to discover late that before we came, the devil has already taken one of your legs or one of your arms. Praise God. Because you are not consistent. You are not committed. Blessed is that servant who, when the master will come, will find him doing the things that he was given to do. Praise God. It's not
when the chips are down. God told Gideon, this 32,000, they are too much. Tell them to go home. When Gideon told them, we are going for battle, this suffering is enough. We need to deal with our enemies. How many of you want to fight? 32,000 raised their hands. And they gathered, they all gave them guns. And God told Gideon, if you go with this man, you'll be a mess. Tell those of them who are afraid to go home. And Gideon said, if you are afraid here, go home. Guess how many that left? 22,000. Can you imagine that 22,000 people with their gun were to go to battle and they kept their heart at home? And you can't win in a battle when your heart is at home and all that you have is a gun. And you think that you win a battle only with God? Ask the Boko Haram guys. They are not fighting only with God, they are fighting with their heart. Praise God. So that's why somebody can decide to wrap bomb around himself and enter a marketplace and bomb the whole place. That man has a heart. Praise God. And so 22,000 persons left. And God told Gideon, they are still too much. We still need to downsize. Praise God. I said, okay, bring them to the pool. I will test them myself. Commitment. Those who want to give your life to Jesus, come out. And you see people raising their hands and coming out. 2 weeks after, they say, God, I made a mistake. I gave you my life. Can you give me back my life? Let me go and live the way I want. It is commitment that will produce greatness. You know, sometimes we are beginning something good in our life. And we just need to continue it. Have you seen that sometimes when you do something that is good, you get excited that day? Oh, you are so happy. You wish you will continue. But somewhere along the line, you are no longer there. Some people will come to church early for 1 week, and after that, they will fall back to their normal lateness. Some people will try and pay their tithes 1 month, 2 months. The other time, they will fall back to their normal stinginess. And people will say, God, I'm going to be giving you nothing less than 500 naira in my offering, no matter what. They will practice it for 1 month, and then the next month, they will fall back to their normal 100 naira note. It is consistency that will produce greatness. Some of us, we know it. You have been a church person for many years in your life, yet you can't stand the devil. Your spiritual life hasn't grown. Take your life to another level. Rise to the height of the destiny that God has created for you. And that will happen only when you apply commitment to the truth that you know. Praise God.
Grace has found me just as I am. Empty hand above love and hands. We're singing Majesty. We're singing Your God.